Hello, I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, May the 31st, the last day of May. Should bars be exempted from the proposed statewide smoking ban? We'll debate that question this hour with guests on different sides of the issue, and we'll welcome your side, too, at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. The bill that would prohibit smoking in all public places in Wisconsin, including bars and restaurants, gets a public hearing today before a Senate committee, 1 o'clock this afternoon at the state capitol. And we'll hold a preview of sorts this hour, prime the pump, and take your testimony, specifically on whether this should be a statewide ban, no exemptions or exceptions for bars, or whether you want to give the bars a break and allow smoking in bars, or maybe give them a phase-in period. Our two guests will be testifying on the bill this afternoon. Pete Madeline is Executive Director of the Tavern League of Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Ed Lump is the President and CEO of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Ed.
Let's start with you, Pete Madeline. What is the short version of what you're going to say today?
Well, the short version of what I'm going to say is that this is a business issue and a freedom issue, and that our members should have the right to determine how to run their business in a legal manner. Having a cigarette, as last I checked, is still legal, and we just want to do our business the way we see fit within the boundaries of the law, and we want the ability to continue to do that.
Mm-hmm. And Ed Lump, what are you going to say?
Well, we think, you know, we don't disagree with the idea that that we have historically, in fact, defended the freedom issue and the business right to make a decision. But unfortunately, that horse has left the barn. We're really way beyond that point. We have 33 municipalities, I believe, in Wisconsin that have varying forms of smoking bans. These create islands and also tremendous unfairness within them because the bans are certainly not uniforms. Most have tavern exemptions of one kind or another, although they vary what kind. So we think that the time has come, frankly, to end this debate and move forward. The vast majority of the public do not want smoking in public places, and our board felt they looked at this very carefully, but they felt and they voted rather dramatically. I might add, 36-1, I believe the vote was to support a statewide smoking ban without exceptions. We have many members asking for a level playing field. You can see that, and again, in areas where they have smoking bans, Madison and Appleton are examples where there's workplace bans where both taverns and restaurants have had the unfortunate experience of watching their customers just go down the road to another municipality where they can smoke legally.
Yeah.
Where you have municipalities that have given a tavern exemption, many restaurants which we represent that do not serve alcohol. In fact, about 35% of our membership do not serve alcohol, and many of them are smoke-free on their own, of course, but many of them have lost customers to, frankly, taverns that have exemptions that open for breakfast, for instance, and things like that. So the only way to make any fairness out of this issue is to, in fact, regulate it and make it fair for everybody and just ban smoking on the interior of a restaurant.
What about that level playing field, Pete Madeline?
Well, I'm just curious about that. I know Ed had a press conference with smoke-free people, and I was on a committee with several smoke-free people, and one thing they reassured us, if the places go smoke-free, the non-smokers are going to come into these places in droves. So, you know, if that's the case, what's the issue? But more importantly, you know, what is a level playing field? I know many of the restaurant associations, members of the chain restaurants and the fast foods have millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in marketing dollars versus our little mom and pops. They don't have any. Is that a level playing field? Ed mentioned a lot of the restaurants don't have liquor licenses. A lot of them do. Is that a level playing field? Would Ed or anybody support liquor licenses for everybody to level a playing field? I don't buy into that. And the other issue, too, is that there's 1,851 municipalities in the state right now. Two of them have a complete smoking ban. Why in the world should 1,849 municipalities go and comply with the two that do? I don't get that. I don't think that's rocket science.
Yeah. Ed Lump?
Well, one of the things that, just to answer that last question, You're going to see, if this law doesn't pass at this point in time, by the time we get together again 2 years from now, and we will, you'll find that instead of 33 municipalities, there'll be a larger number, and more of them will be total smoke-free workplaces. And frankly, there's no guarantee that those already have passed bans will leave them the way they are. A lot of them passed them that way in an effort to get them passed, but in the final instance, they'll come back and try to close those loopholes as time goes along. Now, the other thing, in terms of the making a level playing field, it might be interesting sometime to have a debate on whether everybody ought to be able to get a liquor license if the municipality wants to issue it or not. But that's not the issue here. We look at it and say that. And there is evidence, frankly, within Madison, frankly, within Appleton, that in fact smokers have come, not smokers, but non-smokers have gone to many businesses where they didn't go before, and business is up in many places, not everywhere. There's been damage done, particularly along the outskirts of the cities, and that's where the big damage has been done. But the interiors, these things seem to be going well.
I need to jump in, take a short break for weather, and then continue debating the smoking ban issue. The bill that would prohibit smoking in all public places, workplaces in Wisconsin, including bars and restaurants, gets a public hearing at the state capitol today. And we're talking with two guests with different viewpoints on this hour. Pete Madlin, executive director of the Tavern League of Wisconsin, wants to exempt taverns from this ban. Ed Lump, president and CEO of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, wants it to be a statewide ban, taverns included. What do you want? 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, May the 31st. At issue with Ben Marins this afternoon after 5 o'clock, Ben will talk with a guest who says despite recent revelations about substandard conditions at veterans' hospitals, the Veterans Health Administration provides the highest quality health care in the nation. That's after 5 with Ben Marins. Right now, we are talking about the proposed smoking ban in Wisconsin, the bill that would prohibit smoking in all public places in Wisconsin, including bars and restaurants. Talking with two guests, one from the Tavern League and one from the Restaurant Association, who have differing points of view on this issue. Pete Madlin, the executive director of the Tavern League of Wisconsin, wants bars exempted from this legislation. Ed Lump from the Restaurant Association says in order to level the playing field, bars need to be included, and it needs to be bars and restaurants. Let me ask you before I go to the phones, and our lines have filled up very quickly on this issue, as I suspected. Pete Madlin, the governor earlier this month, clarified that he really doesn't want bars exempted from this legislation. He also said he couldn't imagine a bill getting to his desk that doesn't have the smoking ban for taverns, too. But he said he would be open to a limited phase-in for taverns. What's your reaction to that?
Well, first off, I just want to clarify that our proposal does not just include taverns, but it also includes bar areas of restaurants.
Okay,
because I want to make that perfectly clear to our members out there. Our people will not accept a phase-in. Evidence has shown that smoking bans, complete smoking bans, affect the tavern business. Ireland, Canada, in fact, I called my friend in Colorado yesterday. Their smoking ban has been in effect now for 1 year. He had two bars, one is now out of business, and one, his sales are down 30%, and he doesn't know how much longer he can stay in business. We're talking about people's livelihoods here. And that's what we're messing with. We're messing with people's retirement, their way of life, and everything they work for, and all of a sudden you're going to take that away from them. And we're not talking about a 2 or 3% decline in sales here. We're talking dramatic drops in sales. We're talking about people going out of business. And no, we will not accept a phase-in.
Yeah. Ed Lump, what's your reaction to the possibility of a phase-in and your reaction to the Tavern League wants the bar areas of restaurants exempted too?
Well, first of all, the you know, we'd have to see what kind of proposal for a phase-in actually services before we could make a comment on that. So I'm not going to make a comment on it. But I think that the phase-in, I mean, the idea of bars, restaurant bars being exempt, is something that, you know, that we're not in favor of either. We believe it has to be a total ban in order to, in fact, give level the playing field and give everybody the opportunity to keep the customers they have. If smoking is banned everywhere, customers will stay put. They're not going to go to they won't have another city to go to. I talked to a member the other day who called and wasn't happy with our position from northern Wisconsin. But the example he used was, look what happened in Wausau. They passed a smoking ban, all the smokers went to Schofield. Well, that's what we want to prevent. We'd like to make it so that all the customers stayed in Wausau and all the customers stayed in Schofield or wherever they are and stayed in the, whatever restaurants or bars are their favorite. Once you put an exemption in there, you encourage people that have a particular point of view or smoke, in this case smokers, to go where they can smoke, obviously.
Yeah. Ed, maybe those smokers are just going to stay home and not go to the bars at all, and then the bars are going to go out of business.
Well, that's an argument that can be made. But the reality of it is, I don't think people go to bars just because they can smoke. They go there for lots of other reasons. They go to restaurants for lots of other reasons, and these reasons are social reasons. I can't imagine people staying home being happy with their cigarette and their can of beer for very long before they want to go out and be with their friends.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't think it's going to. I think that's sort of a red herring argument. I would like to comment. I hate to take the time here, but I would like to comment on some of these studies that have been done regarding cities. Where a lot of business has been lost. Our own National Restaurant Association, about 2004, released a study that said, yes, it harms, there's evidence that taverns and restaurants are harmed by smoking bans, but the study reflected local smoking bans, and it said clearly in there that statewide bans were not considered, that only local bans were considered. When local bans occur, there is damage done. We do not believe the damage is as great when you have a statewide ban because everything is equal.
Let me bring in some callers in our discussion. Jim in Two Rivers. Hi, you're on the air. Jim, are you at your phone, I hope? You're not, so we're going to have to move on. Alicia in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I heard your guest earlier say that he doesn't understand why the rest of the state should have to comply with the two municipalities that have the smoking bans. And I don't think it's really an issue of business at all, because we're talking about people's health and their lives. I bartended in a small town north of Toronto when Ontario had their provincial smoking ban. And I was a smoker at the time, but working bartending at night, being in the smoke for 6 or 7 hours at a time, I had chronic bronchitis, I have asthma, I have all these. I mean, I've quit smoking for my own health reasons since then, but for the sake of the employees who are working in the establishments, they shouldn't be subjected to smoke for hours and hours at a time.
Pete Madlin?
Yeah, well, congratulations on your quitting smoking. I think that's wonderful. I'm a non-smoker myself. I find it curious. I've talked to several legislators, and not one of them has gotten a phone call from an employee on this issue. If, in fact, it is about employees' health and safety, the employees don't seem to be up in arms over this. The employees are more concerned about having a job that they enjoy, having a job that they make good wages at, and they want to continue doing that. The proof is in the pudding that where smoking bans go in, there's loss of jobs and there's loss of business. And this is something that definitely concerns us. Obviously, if I have asthma, I probably shouldn't be working in a bar. But our people have responded. Now, our people care about employee health also. And our people, the days of the smoke-filled pool room are gone. Our people have reacted. We have air cleaners. They took surveys. Many, many, many bars overwhelmingly are well within OSHA standards of air condition for their employees. So I think that our people are reacting to that issue very well. Like I said, I don't see any employees campaigning for this bill.
Yeah. Do you have a comment on that, Ed Lump?
Well, I think that it's unlikely that the employees are going to take the trouble to make the call to legislators, and I do congratulate also Alyssa on this call that she quit smoking. I too am a non-smoker, but I think that I think we can. I don't want to dwell too much on the health issue because that's an issue to be debated by people that are experts in that.
Yeah.
But they are. But if we're going to be concerned about the health of restaurant workers, then I think we have to be concerned about the health of tavern workers. There's no second-class citizens here. Workers in both industries are extremely important, and the health is extremely important. But you can't argue to protect them in one place and not another.
But I think it's strange, though, that last year when this bill was introduced on the Tavern League to have an exemption for bars and bar areas of restaurants, the Restaurant Association actually supported our bill last year. And they made a strange turn this year.
Well, we supported the bill after we got it amended. The original bill you introduced, we created quite a bit of stir because we opposed it, as you remember, because it didn't wasn't clear that there was no smoking allowed in tavern dining rooms as well as restaurants, and there was no exemption for people that had already put in separate ventilated rooms. We got that amendment added to the bill, and so we made quite a few changes in the bill to make it more acceptable and to better protect the entire industry. We also, one of the statements you made, not you personally, but that was made in the process of drafting that bill, was that you wanted to eliminate smoking in restaurants that did not serve food. In fact, there is an exemption in current state law for restaurants and taverns under 50 seats, and you guys wanted to eliminate that exemption. We got that exemption restored into your bill, and then we did support it because we felt it was a good step forward. So that's the history behind that.
Let me bring in another caller before our news break. Joanne in Eau Claire. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I own and operate a full-service restaurant with a full separate cocktail lounge in the Eau Claire area, and I'm a member of both the Restaurant Association and the Tavern League. We employ about 30 part-time employees, and they're, of course, like family to us. And out of concern for their health as well as our own, since we physically work in our business, we made the voluntary decision as of January 1st of this year to go completely smoke-free. Now, when we did this, we honestly thought that we would lose business. But, in fact, our business has increased. And I think that there's a great deal of fear out there, particularly on the part of small independent owners, that a ban will result in this loss of business. But, actually, I feel that it will level the playing field, and I'll just take your comments off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Joanne. I think we only have time for maybe Pete Madlin to react to that.
Well, I think that's great testimony, and she did it on her own, and isn't that the answer? Isn't that the freedom of choice? It works for her, and that's wonderful. I'm not saying it's going to work for everybody, but that's great, and that's the way this thing should be driven. The market should drive these decisions. The General Motors plant in Janesville just went smoke-free for the benefit of their employees. God bless them. And God bless anybody who makes that decision. I hope it works for them. But doggone it, if we have members out there that don't think it's going to work, they should have that right to make that decision because it's going to affect their business.
Yeah, Ed Lum, 30 seconds.
Well, obviously, we applaud the decision that was made voluntarily, too. But as I said earlier, the horse has kind of left the barn on that. You're going to see more and more regulations, and as a result, you're going to see more unfairness in the regulations. We just can't see. We understand the fear in this issue. We want to avoid the fear by, frankly, giving everybody the chance to keep their customers that they've already got rather than see them move somewhere else because some government passed a local regulation that forces them to do so.
We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue this debate, this discussion on the proposed statewide smoking ban, the bill that would prohibit smoking in Wisconsin in bars and restaurants and all public places, gets a hearing today. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this last day of May, Thursday, May the 31st. Today, a state Senate committee holds a public hearing on the bill that would ban smoking in all public places, all workplaces in Wisconsin, including restaurants and bars. We're talking with two guests this hour who will be testifying at the hearing, one who says that taverns and the bar areas of restaurants should be exempted from this ban. And another guest who says, no, they shouldn't. We wonder what you say and what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We are talking with Pete Madlin, who is Executive Director of the Tavern League of Wisconsin, and Ed Lump, President and CEO of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association. Back to the phones we go. Diane in New Auburn has been waiting. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for taking the call. I belong to a dancing club in Eau Claire, And if there's a choice, we will go to a non-smoking place for music. But that doesn't happen very often, maybe like the Moose Club or something. So we spend a lot of time going to the bars, and our entire group are non-smokers. And it's not true that all of these places have good air circulation, not at all true. We find ourselves having to go outside ourselves to catch some air. And the other thing I've noticed is that a lot of young people are really influenced by their peers who are smoking. And it really is saddening to see how many young people are caught up in that. And some of them are kids that I knew from college and high school who did not smoke, and they get out in that scene when they're in their 20s and early 30s, and they all seem to be smoking. The other thing, I think it's inevitable that the states are going this way. Look at our neighbor, Minnesota. And I had a chance to go to Washington, the state, and Seattle and Spokane are not hurting in their bars at all. In fact, my niece is a heavy smoker, and they love going out and not coming home smelling like smoke and their hair and their clothes and everything. So those are my comments.
Thank you very much, Diane. Lots to go over there. But Pete Madeline, Diane thinks that some of those bars are too smoky to have fun in.
Well, you know, and I can't argue with that. I'm sure she's right in some of those places. But isn't that nice where, you know, if she gets up and leaves and goes find another place that isn't so smoky? And then, you know, if enough people do that, that business owner is going to change his ways of doing business. Here again, it's simple economics. If I'm losing customers, I have to change the way I'm doing business. We are in the hospitality industry. We're in the hospitality business. We make a living by satisfying our customers. And if our customers are dissatisfied and are leaving, I better change my way of doing business.
What about the governor also made note recently that our neighbors, Minnesota and Illinois, will be going smoke-free, I think, January 1st, statewide smoke-free. So are you just fighting a losing battle here, Pete Madeline? Isn't it inevitable?
We do not buy the fact that this is inevitable, and our members overwhelmingly said keep fighting this battle. You know, Minnesota has a helmet law. Minnesota has a primary seatbelt law. Minnesota has roadblocks. This is Wisconsin. This isn't Minnesota. And I'm not going to insult our listeners by comparing us with Illinois, believe me. But this is Wisconsin. We have 12 to 13,000 taverns in Wisconsin. Minnesota has 3,600. This is a different culture that we're, you know. So I just do not buy that argument at all.
Yeah. Ed Lump, what do you think?
Well, I'd make two comments here. One is one deals with the inevitability of history. There is no question that this is inevitable. If we just go back a few years here, go back pre-2000, we had hardly any. I think there were only two cities in the whole state that had smoking bans of any kind. And today we've got 33. You go back to how many states actually ban smoking. And frankly, in the restaurant industry, the Restaurant Association was usually just as much an opponent of smoking bans as the Tavern League throughout that era. But today, that's not true. Today, many restaurant associations have led the charge and are leading the charge to pass these bans because the local bans are pretty nonsensical here, and they're going to expand. So we look at it and say this is an inevitable march of history here, and having the two states. Two large states, which are major market areas for our state, frankly, surrounding us, go smoke-free in short order here. I think is a reflection of the attitude. It's also maybe a reflection of the attitude of people that are going to visit our state too. Tourism is a big thing here, and while some of the tourists that come in are smokers, with 80% of the people not smoking, you can bet the farm that most of them that come here are not smokers. So you look at the market situation, the market conditions, it really is against allowing smoking.
Let me bring in another caller, Diana in Toma. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I am a bar owner in Toma, Wisconsin. We have a Mon-Pa Tavern, a pub. We do not serve food. 40 years in the business. 40 years. You put this bill, if there's a statewide smoking ban, we may as well close our doors. 95% of our people smoke. It's a legal product.
Yeah.
We should be able to make the decision ourselves. We have installed two air filter systems. When it's possible, the doors are open. We have fresh air coming through. We will be dead and lose everything we've worked for. That is a positive statement. Yeah. In addition, in the taverns, in the bars, in the restaurants where I have gone where there was smoking, the employees smoke. We don't smoke, but our employees smoke. So I don't go with this employee thing at all.
Yeah.
We have installed equipment. I'm just so against it.
I can tell. Diana, you think that all of your customers will, what, just stay home because they won't have anywhere else to go to smoke if this is a total ban?
That's right. And I do believe that they will. I don't believe they'll be coming in.
Yeah.
First of all, we're a pub. You know, we have pizza from a pizza oven. But they're not going to go into our place. They will leave our bar when they want to go to a restaurant.
Yeah, and I guess Pete Madeline, this is the type of a situation that you're trying to prevent with your opposition to this bill.
Exactly. You know, these are the people that we represent. You know, the Restaurant Association, it's easy for them to support a complete smoking ban because most of their members are already smoke-free. McDonald's, Burger King's, these places are already smoke-free. So it's easy to go on that side of the fence. Our people rely on our customers of our members smoke for the most part. And that's who they rely on. And the proof is in the pudding. When a statewide smoking ban goes in, profits and sales go down of taverns, and it jeopardizes their livelihoods. And you've heard it from these people are scared to death.
Yeah. What do you say to that mom-and-pop tavern, Ed Lump?
Well, first of all, if the Tavern League is interested in getting an exemption for taverns that don't serve food, we'll look very seriously at that because we wouldn't object to it. It's the taverns that serve food, and frankly, more and more taverns serve food. I don't know if the public knows this, but the definition of a tavern is simply a business with a liquor license that serves more alcohol than food. Well, you'd be surprised once you get a tavern exemption how many large restaurants will qualify as taverns. Entities that the public may not think of as a tavern at all will qualify depending on how narrow this exemption is drawn. So you want to go back and protect this lady's business by simply saying if you don't serve fresh food, we might be fine with that. But once you get into the food business, then you're inviting customers that come from other food businesses into your establishment.
Are you talking about the pizza?
That
pizza, is that pizza considered food?
Well, I think what this lady is doing, she probably has a license that allows her to sell food that is not prepared on the premise, but is simply like a tombstone pizza that's put in a microwave or however they have a pizza oven that they heat up, those kinds of things. It's a very limited food service. It's not they're not allowed to serve like a fresh hamburger or a fish fry on Friday night or something like that.
Yeah.
But isn't this issue about employee safety?
The workplace.
I'm saying is that, you know, Ed, you can't have it both ways. I mean, if it's employee safety, it's employee safety in all places.
Well, I would agree with you. I'm just saying that the food issue is very important to us as well. I agree. There's no reason at all to exempt anybody from a workplace smoking ban. But we have less of an objection if they don't serve food because that is where the playing field gets unlevel. Is when you have one business, when you have all businesses serve food with varying types of exemptions. That is the driving force behind what we're doing here. Yes, if you want to make the health argument, everyone should be protected in this area. We agree with that. But the major driving force of our stand here has to do with the unlevel playing field that creates competitive advantages and disadvantages based on exemptions that people get.
Yeah,
one thing I also would like to comment quickly on here is
quickly because we do have a break.
There seems to be an illusion here that we represent only places like McDonald's and Burger King, and those places have gone smoke free. 85% of our members are independent restaurants, and so we represent mostly independent restaurants. Our board is mostly independent restaurants. You can go on a website and look at that. 75% of them have liquor licenses. They'll be impacted by this. They put on their big hat and they saw the direction that history was going. What needed to be done here.
So you have a lot of mom-and-pop restaurants in your...
Yes.
Yeah. We're talking with Ed Lump, President and CEO of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, and Pete Madeline, Executive Director of the Tavern League of Wisconsin, debating with us the bill that would ban smoking in public places in Wisconsin, including bars and restaurants. The Tavern League wants taverns exempted. And the Restaurant Association does not. We wonder what you think and what questions you have. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
And then I saw her face. I'm a believer. And not a trace.
Well, that's I'm a Believer, a remake by Smash Mouth. And yes, you are tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. No mistake there. We're going to talk about the campaign songs that Hillary Clinton is considering and that she has posted on her website asking for your votes on what song should she use as her campaign theme. We're going to talk about that, all the different selections that she's looking for your votes for tomorrow at 7 o'clock. So tomorrow at this time, we'll talk about Hillary Clinton and campaign songs. Right now, we're debating the smoking ban, the proposed smoking ban that would prohibit smoking in restaurants and bars in Wisconsin. A state Senate committee will be holding a public hearing on the legislation today, and our two guests will be testifying at that hearing. Back to the phones. Tom in Waukesha is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I am a member of both Tavern League and the Restaurant Association for quite a few years, and I'm a non-smoking five-year throat cancer survivor, and so my concern is from a health point of view. But I will tell you that I'm sure that if this proposed bill exempted restaurants, that Pete Madlin would be on the side of Ed Lump right now, because it's just unfair to exempt one business and not another, and that is the only way to a level playing field. Businesses feel that their customers are coming in because they can smoke, I guess I would say maybe you should do more in your business to attract customers. I don't really believe that customers are going to leave your business because they can't smoke. They're not going to sit home. And an example of this is New York went smoke-free, and they were losing customers to New Jersey because New Jersey they could New York went smoke-free, and New Jersey was losing customers to New York because New York was smoke-free. So in turn, New Jersey went smoke-free, and I think this just counters this argument that we're going to lose business because we're non-smoking. It just it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, all right. Pete Madlin, would you be on the other side of the fence if it were the restaurants calling for the exemption?
The only thing I can say to that is that we represent people with liquor and beer licenses, all right? And our people told us overwhelmingly, we sent out 5,000 surveys, we got 2,500 responses, and they said, keep fighting this thing, we don't need it. It's a freedom of choice. Referring to the New York thing, studies show that when New York passed their ban, over 2,600 jobs were lost and over $28.5 million in wages and salaries were lost. So that's not a coincidence. Statistics show when you go smoke-free, sales in taverns go down. As simple as that. And once again, we support smoking in the bar areas of restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Ed Lump?
Well, I believe that the statistics from New York reflect the early going of a ban that took place in New York City more than anything else. New York State went smoke-free after that, and most of the studies and statistics that I've seen, if not all, reflect the losses that took place before state bans were passed. There were some losses on the border areas, and there were some gains. There's no question. People that like smoke-free areas will go to places where they're smoke-free. There's no question about that, and there's more of them. So you look at market share, you got, again, about 80% of the people don't smoke and 20% do, and it's declining all the time. And this is one of the changes that has taken place since a lot of these studies were done. You got more bans locally as well as state and even in various countries, but you've got less smokers all the time. And you've got, it's a losing battle to go here and talk about allowing smoking and exempting one part of an industry.
Dick in St. Germain is with us now. Hi, Dick.
Hello.
Yes,
my comment is I just like to say that I think a public place is something, a place like a courthouse or a post office, places like that. I think a privately held restaurant should be able to make up their own choice. The public is invited. They don't have to come. And if the market forces them to go not smoke-free or whatever, I think it should be left up to that owner. If it's a health issue, then, you know, when are they going to start banning Twinkies, red meat, you know, all that other stuff?
Yeah.
I just think the government is starting to get too involved in our personal lives. You know, the seatbelt law is another one. I'm a truck driver. You know, I generally wear my seatbelt. Once in a while, I get caught without it, and I get a fine. Well, I just think the government's getting too involved in our personal lives.
Well, all right, Dick, I could quiz you on that, but we're losing you on the cell phone anyway. This should be a private business decision, ban smoking at the post office, but not at the private restaurant or tavern. And Pete Madlin, you would agree with that?
Oh, definitely. Like I said, we're messing with people's livelihoods here. I've always said many times that, you know, if our people go out of business making bad business decisions, they can handle that. That if they lose their business and their livelihood because the government makes a bad decision for them, that's a very, very tough pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's exactly right. Today it's cigarettes, you're going to be rest assured. Tomorrow it's cheeseburgers and French fries.
Yeah, Ed Lump?
Well, there's some differences in that. I don't think the argument is correct either. We're concerned about them banning French fries and things like that, too, but there's a difference. Cigarette smoking does have an effect on other people, whereas these other things have only a personal effect on individuals. So there's a different argument there. I think in an ideal world, obviously, we would agree that the ideal world is to let the business make their own decision, but that ideal world has gone away a long time ago. And on this issue, it's gone forever. We're not going to be able to roll back laws that are already in existence. And in fact, we're going to see an expansion in local areas as this issue continues if the state doesn't do something about it. And that's where the unfairness comes from. Government needs to step in and make some sense out of this, and that's what we're asking them. We're asking them to do here. You can't go back, and so there's only one other way to a level playing field, and that's to ban it everywhere. So that's what we're looking for here, to make it fair to everybody, so nobody loses customers.
But I think we have to realize there's a lot of municipalities that have rejected total smoking bans. We don't hear about that. We hear about the Madisons and the Appletons of Wisconsin, but we don't hear about the Onalaskas and the Chautauquas of the world, where they said, hey, leave us alone, we'll decide, and we don't like a complete smoking ban.
Well, that's true, but the history also is that while you may win, we may win in local areas, occasionally we end up losing in those places inevitably. Look at Stevens Point. You had a referendum rejected, and then you suddenly had the Kasama Council come forward and pass their own smoking ban. You have that go on everywhere, where you win for a while and then you lose. It's a losing game. To go forward with this.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Stephen Madison is with us. Probably last call. Go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking my call, Jai. I'm calling because Mr. Madeline did incorrectly quote statistics from New York City. In Madison, as with New York City, the smoking ban was good for business. There may have been some drop-off with individual businesses, but overall, sales tax collections were up, employment was up, number of liquor licenses are up, the hospitality business in Madison is doing better than ever. And jurisdictions all over the world, business smoking bans have been good for business. And only when the industry, tavern industry, is making the studies do you get data other kind of contradicting that.
Yeah. Do you want to contradict that, Pete Madlin?
Well, I sure would. Don't tell the Buckeye Inn or Rick and Ole's or Capital Grill or Mad Hatters, these places that have gone out of business, don't tell them that things are great in Madison, because they're done. They're out of business. Their livelihoods are shot. And I'm reading a quote from the Ridgewood Economic Associates from May of 2004. That says the impact of ban on bars and restaurants. A study found that 2,000 jobs were lost, 28.5 million wages, and $37 million in gross product. So don't tell me that things are rosy when they pass smoking bans. If that's the case, everybody be going smoke free on their own.
Yeah, Ed Lump.
Well, one of the things I would say here, and I have great respect, by the way, for the Tavern League and for Pete, and I respect the passion that they have on this issue, and I hope they respect our passion as well. But I will say that the bars in Madison that went out of business is an unfortunate circumstance, but I think they went out of business because their customers could go across the street or down the road to another municipality that didn't ban smoking entirely. And I can guarantee you, almost everywhere where a smoking ban has been passed, once it is passed, the businesses that are affected, that can no longer allow smoking, want a statewide ban. That's true in Appleton, it's true in Madison. They know the firsthand inequities that are caused by a local ban. and now they want the state to take care of it. And that's overwhelming, whether it's a tavern or a restaurant. They want a ban once it happens. They'll fight to the death before it happens. But once it happens, then they want a statewide ban.
We'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. Went very quickly. Thanks, Ed Lump and Pete Madlin, for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pete Madlin, Executive Director, Tavern League of Wisconsin. Ed Lump, President and CEO of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association. Both will be testifying before a state Senate committee today, holding a hearing on the bill that would prohibit smoking in all public places in Wisconsin, including bars and restaurants. The Tavern League is trying to get bars and the bar areas of restaurants exempted from this legislation, but the Restaurant Association is advocating for a total ban to level the playing field. That hearing at 1 o'clock this afternoon at the State Capitol. We thank Karen Prager for producing the hour and Christina Taylor for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.